Lakes1.com. Welcome to Around the Lakes, getting you out and about in the Finger Lakes and taking a peek behind the curtain at some cool organizations in the region. Today we have Gabriela Quintanilla in studio. She's here to talk about the Rural and Migrant Ministry and some of the awesome things they have going on. Gabriela, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me here today.
So let's start with what is the ministry and how did that sort of found, and then also, what's the reach here in the Finger Lakes?
Yeah, so Rural Migrant Ministry was founded many decades ago, before I was born. And it was a bunch of churches that came together at the time and decided that they didn't want to be just another church. So they created a nonprofit organization to help people in rural areas of New York. And so ever since, Rural Migrant Ministry has changed a lot. It went from having one office in Poughkeepsie and helping the people of the Hudson Valley to now having three centers across the state of New York. We have a center in Long Island out in Riverhead, and we work predominantly with farm worker families. And then we have another center in the Catskills and one in Lyons, which is where I am located.
Mm-hmm. And of course, how did you get involved with the organization, or how did you come to find the organization yourself?
Yeah, so I became part of the RMM family when I was 14 years old. So RMM is well known for working with farm workers and advocating for farm workers, and also providing different programming for the children of farm workers. So when I was 14, my mother worked in a poultry factory in the Catskills, and I learned about their overnight camp. So it's a 1 week camp where different students from all over the state of New York of rural areas come together and learn about youth empowerment. And that's how I became to meet Rural Migrant Ministry.
That's awesome. And your ties to the Finger Lakes, obviously, you went to school at Hobart William Smith?
I did not.
You did not?
No.
Okay.
So I, long story short, I grew up in the Catskills for half of my life, and then went to Stony Brook University.
Okay.
And then got offered a job with Rural Migrant Ministry and came out to the Finger Lakes.
So it's really interesting because it seems like on a lot of the college campuses, that is where the organization is most strong. That seems to be where there's the most chatter and discussion about the awesome things that you guys are doing. To that end, when you guys are talking to these college students who aren't just from around this area, what's the reception been like to the work that you guys are doing and some of the ideas that you guys are trying to get going and sort of get off the ground and rolling?
Very positive. In fact, we have a lot of interns that come to all the different centers that we have across the state of New York from out state. You know, the interns are from different colleges around the United States. So that's really awesome that, you know, people out in the world are noticing the work that we're doing. But also, we have strong ties to HWS because it's the closest college campus to us. And like you mentioned, it's where, you know, all these conversations that matter and actions take place. So we have a great partnership with them.
Is that one of the big opportunities that you guys sort of have before you, is to take a sort of use college campuses as a little bit of an epicenter where you can start some dialogue that then spreads out beyond into the communities that neighbor around it?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say so, for sure.
So talk to us a little bit about what some of the things are that the ministry is working on, not only on just sort of on the ground level, but also in terms of advocacy.
Yeah.
And what you guys are trying to fight to change.
Absolutely. So for the last 20 years, we've been fighting for what is called the Farm Worker Labor Practices Act, and is a bill that would give farm workers in the state of New York a day of rest, the right to collectively bargain, and in overtime pay, amongst other things. But those are like the main key points of the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been fighting really, really hard to make this a law, to protect all farm workers and their families. And we finally have 32 co-sponsors in the Senate. And we hope that this year the bill will become law in the state of New York. And so we're having a rally that we do every year in Albany. We call it Farm Worker Albany Day. And this year is going to happen May 6th. And so now that you're giving me the opportunity, we're leaving at 7 a.m. from the park and ride at exit 42. We're providing transportation for anybody who wants to join us, and there's more information on how to register on our website, ruralandmigrantministry.org.
And as you look at sort of the multi-prong, because as you noted, there are a lot of different components to what you're trying to change. Is it one of those scenarios where you guys kind of pick certain things that you want to focus on that you think will be the best options, I guess, to pursue, and then try to work on some of the peripheral items as they come up? Or how do you guys sort of approach, the ideation of the changes that you ultimately want to see?
Yeah, that's a great question, because actually the Farm Worker Labor Practices Act bill came from the farm workers themselves. And before I joined RMM and before I knew about RMM, there was a group of farm workers called CITA, Centro Independiente de Trabajadores Agrícolas. Independent Center for Farm Workers in the translation. And they came together, and they're based on their own obstacles and struggles and what they were experiencing in the fields, they decided that they needed something that would protect them. And in fact, farm workers are the only ones excluded from the labor laws in New York State. So mm-hmm. So we're trying to change that. And unfortunately, CITA fell apart, but there were different components, and one of them was the advocacy. And so different organizations were involved with CITA, and Rural Migrant Ministry took it upon themselves to continue the advocacy part of this bill, to not let it die. So,
and to the point that the work you guys are doing is so important, what do you guys sort of feedback? What kind of feedback do you guys get from not only the community at large, but the actual farming community and agricultural industry? Obviously, it's super prominent throughout the Finger Lakes in Western New York. What is some of the feedback that you guys see and hear, whether it's critical or supportive?
So it's both, right? There's people that are against this bill because they believe that, you know, farm workers after 40 hours, they won't be able to work after 40 hours. And it seems really daunting to everybody that agriculture could function on 40 hours. And of course, we understand that, you know, that's a problem, right? Because agriculture, just like any other sector, is different, and it requires a lot more time, and we understand that, and we're willing to come to a compromise in terms of the overtime pay. That's the biggest thing for farmers, and so the support on the farmers' end has been sort of split. We have some farmers that support this but are caught up at the overtime pay, and so we're hoping that we can have dialogue with the Farm Bureau. We're hoping that we can come to an agreement. And of course, we're already doing surveys in the community to ask the farm workers, what would be fair and just to you and your family and the work that you're doing? And so we're starting those conversations in terms of the overtime pay. That's the biggest
thing. It's interesting because, like you said, it's really complicated, right? Like the entire agricultural industry in New York State is super complicated to begin with, and yeah, outside of New York State too. But that said, as you guys look forward, and obviously you don't know for sure right now what the outcome of this particular fight is going to be, this has to be the beginning, right? This isn't sort of a solve-all to all of the problems inside the ag industry for farm workers, right?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, this is the beginning of many things, just like asking for toilets in the field was the beginning of something, and drinkable water in the fields, you know, years ago. And we had, you know, people against that as well. And our message is, you know, simple. These are people who pick our fruit every day, fruits and vegetables, and they deserve dignity and respect for the work that they're doing. And I think that overall agriculture is not valued, you know, as other sectors, which is crazy because we depend on it for every day.
So getting back to the overtime portion of this, which obviously is the more contested part, what is the argument that you guys bring to the table, or what is the information that you guys bring to the table to try and put some of those folks who are concerned about that part of this at ease, or at least make them a little more comfortable with the fact that, like you said, it's a dialogue, it's not meant to be a strict, stringent line this is where it has to be and nowhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to work together. You know, we want to work together with the farmers. We understand their struggle, but we also want them to understand that cases of abuse have happened in other farms. You know, there's a lot of farmers out there who are great and are treating their workers fairly, and that's awesome. But we need a law that's going to protect all farm workers in the state of New York, right? From, you know, getting their wages stolen, from sexual harassment in the field, from not, you know, paying them enough, from overworking them. So we just need a law that is going to protect all farm workers. And you asked me before that this was just the beginning of other issues. And of course, so I don't know if you've heard of the green light campaign happening in the state of New York, driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants. And that's another factor of all of this. The farm worker bill can protect workers in terms of their rights in the field and labor laws. But when it comes to driver's licenses, that's not something that is part of this bill, and it's also necessary for the workers to drive out to the farms mm-hmm. and buy their own groceries and take their families out and take their kids to school. And yeah,
there, and it seems to be that when we see this debate, this sort of conversation unfold in a lot of unfiltered settings, it defaults to this idea that there is some sort of handout being administered, or that there is some. But it seems to be more based in, at least in terms of this, equality and just sort of leveling the playing field and making sure that all bases are covered. That way there isn't this giant liability sitting on the table for any party involved, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. Yes. And there's definitely no handout being given. You know, this is about human rights. This is about dignity and respect and acknowledging the people that are behind the biggest industries mm-hmm. in this country. And when it comes to the green light, we're just trying to reinstate something that was already in place before 9/11. So mm-hmm. it's not something that is just coming out
it's
of the
blue.
New. It's not new. Yeah, we're just you know, trying to get it back in place.
So obviously there have been in the last, I'd say 2 to 3 to 4 months, a lot of headlines about the decline of family-owned farms. And I'm just curious, because that was one of the pieces of feedback we got coming into this, was a lot of questions around, is this sort of irregularity that we're seeing within the farm workers' space related at all to the decline of some of the smaller family-owned farms who might have, frankly, been more mindful and paid closer attention to the folks who were working for them on their properties?
I wouldn't, you know, the small family farms, I don't think it has anything to do with that farm worker bill that's right now, you know, trying to become law. I would say perhaps the guest worker program coming in to bigger farms. That's all I would have to say on that. Yeah.
So now that you guys sort of, you look, obviously, big event coming up, obviously a big moment for you guys in the beginning of May. After that, though, where does it pivot? Does it turn? Does it shift? What do you guys do? What's the sort of follow-up to that?
Well, we hope that it will become law and, you know, we'll have a celebration, right? And most importantly, we're going to start educational trainings with the people that we work with and letting them know about their rights and how, if it becomes law, how it has changed and what they have access to now. So they know how to better protect themselves and advocate for themselves in the fields.
And as you talk to different folks in the industry, and then also I'm assuming you guys are in pretty regular conversation with elected leaders and officials too, what's that confidence level look like in terms of will this get through, will this become law by the end of session this time around?
We have really high hopes, right? Nothing is certain and anything can change, but that's why we ask the community for support, to call your local representatives and join us for Albany Day and other actions that we're going to have this summer to keep pushing to make sure that this will become law.
So thank you for mentioning that. Other events this summer, what are some of the ways that the average listener, the average person who's just casually consuming this, could get involved, could help what you guys are trying to do?
So once a month we have something called a Justice Celebration, which is a gathering where people come together and learn about what's happening in the community, in the farm worker community, and it's a time to meet the people that we work with and to strengthen our partnership with allies. But we also work with the children of farm workers, as I mentioned before. We have a group called Justice Organization of Youth, and they do theater for social justice. They write their own stories. They write about their own stories of being children of farm workers and, you know, going to school in a rural setting and things like that. And so we're often looking for volunteer drivers. And during the summer, we host this two-week day summer program for elementary schoolers and middle schoolers out in Lyons. And we need people to volunteer to cook. We need people to recommend some counselors that can be part of our team. And driving is the biggest thing of what we do, because, you know, rural area, we have to drive a lot, and the families that we work with often have limited access to transportation. So for all of the programming that we do, we pick up the children at their house and we drop them off. So that's a way that people could get involved. I would love to have a stronger volunteer team.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you mentioned transportation and being in rural communities. How does that affect the way you guys have to sort of mobilize what you do and bring it to folks, rather than what if you're in a Rochester or Syracuse or even a New York City place like that, where the people, the volunteers, the audience sort of comes to you?
Yeah. It's difficult, you know. It requires a lot of, calling people, making sure that they can be there, and emphasizing that we will provide transportation, we will provide childcare, we will have interpretation, because some of the events that we do is for both the farm worker community, but also for the allies that support the organization. So often, you know, we need interpretation, and so emphasizing those things over and over is what allows us to bring people together.
And of course, before we get you on your way, let everybody know where they can find you guys, where they can connect with you, whether that's on social media or, of course, on your website.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can look us up on Facebook, Twitter, Rural and Migrant Ministry, and you can go to our website, ruralmigrantministry.org, and you can contact me at my email address, Gabriella with one L, Q.rmm@gmail.com.
Appreciate the time, Gabriella. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.